The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Fires it downfield. Dawson Knox makes a catch. Cruises into the end zone. Holy mackerel.
The second consecutive drive ends in an interception.
Been a rough night.
Going to throw it into the end zone. Emmanuel Sanders. Touchdown, Bills.
Four takeaways tonight for the Buffalo Bills.
We don't lose football games like that, especially at home. This is one you're going to remember.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby.
Up,
what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
What a weekend of sports. There's so much sports. We can't fit it all in the show. College football, WNBA. We can't even get to it because last night, I don't know if you know Jalen Rose, but I'm part of the Bills Mafia now. And I don't know if you saw the game last night. There was a long delay. I stayed up for every second of it. And you know what happened? The Bills went into Kansas City like they did in the AFC Championship, except this time they left with a win. What do you think of that dominant performance from the class of the AFC?
It starts at the quarterback position where they have an elite player in Josh Allen. And while he does play the position of quarterback, the thing I truly like about him, besides the fact he can make all of the throws and he's a great runner, he's an actual football player.
Football player.
You know what I'm saying? They're not treating him like fine china. That's not how he plays. And I appreciate that so very much. And his squad clearly feeds off. Look at that. Look at
jumping
that,
Jacoby. Jumping over people.
Jumping over the defender.
Jumping
like
over human beings.
Billy Sims or something. And so I definitely appreciate that. But let's not overlook actually why they won, though. Their defense has been outstanding. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I told you going into this game, they led the league in 11 categories. Their defensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier, right? Now all of a sudden you're playing against Patrick Mahomes, and he's turning the football over this year,
sure
Jacoby.
Sure.
Do you
is.
Know 2 years ago he had 5 interceptions? Last year, he had 6 interceptions. Did you know our guy, where my homie, already has 6 interceptions, 2 pick sixes, including yesterday, and a fumble, turning the ball over also in the red zone. Now, their defense has struggled really mightily the last few years, but they've been able to overcome it because they had that guy. Not turning over the football. That changed this season. In particular, yesterday, your Bills Mafia made our correspondent, who I just got a text from, Benny the Butcher, can't
the
wait to come on the show and
the
talk
Butcher's
about
coming.
Yesterday's win.
What a huge win this was for the Bills. As I mentioned, in the AFC Championship, in that stadium, they didn't just lose, they got beat. They were outclassed. Last night, it wasn't even close. The Bills were dominant on both sides of the
waxed.
Ball. They could move the ball. It seems like the Chiefs couldn't do anything. And all that cute stuff that Patrick Mahomes has been doing the last couple of years, throwing behind the back,
good
throwing
point.
His other hand, going under, like, it's not working anymore. It just seems like the clock has run out. We'll see if the Chiefs can turn their season around. But the Bills today are the best team in the AFC. And we'll see the Ravens this evening. But Jalen, I don't know if you saw this, but the Detroit Lions played a
Why
football game
yesterday. Why are we even doing this? And then, why does got to be second
have,
on the show?
We,
this ain't a headline.
We have Jalen Rose's reaction after the game. I know you've seen what happened in the game. Let's just see what happened after the game in Jalen Rose's house.
What is this the face of?
Meow.
What is this the face of?
Meow.
Only the Lions can find a way to lose after they've already won. The Lions won the game, Jalen. They won the game. They forced a fumble. They got, like, I mean, and then Adam Thielen just, Look at what Adam Thielen did to you, Jalen. How does it feel to watch this again after you lived it yesterday?
First off, our guy Adam Thielen didn't catch a football all day. All day!
It's true.
And on the game-winning drive, catches two. I know he thought about me. Catches two. Now, the Lions force a fumble. We recover the ball, Jacoby. Oh. We drive. We score. And the rest of the world, like, I know they're going to go for the extra point.
No, there's no way they're going for two.
I know they're going for the extra point.
Going for two would be so dumb right now. You can't go for two after you force the fumble.
I know
we're going to
go for the extra point, right?
It didn't even look like a fumble. It didn't even look like a fumble. Like, I was like, wait, the Lions really got the ball? And then, Swift scores. And what happened here, Jay?
Swift scores. Jarrett Montana throws a two-point conversion. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. We're about to win. And then I'm like, you know what? There's more time on the clock. And by the way, this wasn't a chip shot field goal.
Wasn't it
50 yards? See, what happens is when somebody make a record 66-yarder on you, you start to feel like that's normal. Like, he made a 50-plus-yard field goal to beat us.
After the two-point conversion, I was going to text you, and I was like, you know what? I've seen too many Lions games to celebrate this right now. I'm not even going to text Jay. I'm going to wait until the clock runs out, and when the clock ran out, another 50-plus-yard field goal, just another spike in the heart of the Lions. And your reaction after the game was great. We also have a reaction from – oh, and this is what just happened a week ago. I mean, Jay. Like, you guys find new ways to lose, new and creative ways to lose football games. It's really interesting how you guys keep doing this.
Normally, when it's 4th and 19 and the other quarterback has his heels against their goal line, you should win that game. Like, you should win that game. A 66-yard. So we lost two games, right, of about, 120 yards worth of field goals? Like, that's crazy. We forced a fumble, Jacoby, scored a touchdown, and got a two-point conversion. You know what? I just not thought about something. There's a reason why I'm the only person y'all ever see with a Lions helmet. You don't see Megatron with one. You don't see none of the former players.
You need to end this emotionally abusive relationship with the Lions. Honestly, I was going to text you after the two-point conversion and celebrate. I was like, no way I'm going to do this because I know they're going to lose. Let's move on to some teams that actually are good and that matter in the NFL instead of the Lions and the Vikings. And that is the Packers and the Bengals. Tied at 22. Heading into the end of the game. It's like no one wanted to win. It was like no one wanted to win this game. Crosby missed like 17 field goals. Look at this man. His job is to kick field goals. What'd he do, Jay?
He missed a lot of field goals, and this wasn't the only game where kickers seemed to struggle. Mm-hmm. However, if you're the Bengals, you still feel really good about this loss because you have Joe Burrow and you have Chase, and they've become so very terrific as a young combination, linking up together. Before the Packers, it was all about Davante Adams. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. And Aaron Jones also rushed over 100 yards. So it's one of those things, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you look back at the schedule, winning ugly does count.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Adams. It just seemed like every time Aaron Rodgers needed something, he just looked for number 17 and found him. It was Adams and Adams and Adams and Adams and Adams. I think the story of this game is going to be the missed field goals and the made field goal at the end. But the story of this game to me was Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and Aaron Rodgers, proving that with the three of them, you always have a chance to win. And do you remember when they lost week one? When they lost? You remember to the Saints? You remember that game? And we all thought it was going to be dramatic and that they would lose. Well, guess what? The Packers have now won 4 in a row and look to be a contender in the NFC. And Jalen, there's so much that happened this weekend that almost no one's going to discuss this, but we had on Saturday night one of the greatest heavyweight fights I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to say the greatest heavyweight fight I've ever seen in my life. Of course, that was between Fury and Wilder. It was back and forth, and people make the cliche, oh, they're going back and forth like a boxing match. But these two really went toe-to-toe, and it was an amazing night for the sport of boxing. What do you think about this epic, historic battle between these two heavyweights?
A terrific night in boxing. And by the way, I've been telling anybody that will listen, there's nothing, no sporting event like a heavyweight prize fight against two gladiators. And the stage was set. First off, they both have disdain for one another. Mm-hmm. The other thing, it was the third time that they fought. It was a trilogy. And then there's a dichotomy. You got Deontay Wilder, who's chiseled. And then you got Tyson Fury, respectfully has a dad bod, right? So now all of a sudden, Tyson Fury knocks Deontay Wilder down. Wilder responds and knocks him down twice in the same round. This is what we want from our heavyweights. It was almost like Rocky. You want to see the heavyweights throwing power blows. But there's more. Fury knocks him down again. And then the third time ends up being a KO. It was the theater that we wanted and deserved. I know Deontay's disappointed that he lost and he didn't talk in the ring afterwards, but it doesn't take away from the fact that that was a historic heavyweight bout that many people are going to be talking about forever.
It wasn't the sweet science. I don't know if the art of boxing and the skill was shown the way we see in other fights, but it was just two guys just exchanging right hands. Just right hand after right hand. And the chins that they both showed in the ring were just absolutely phenomenal. It was such a great night for sports on the heels of Michigan winning late and the Red River rivalry going late and then Alabama lost to A&M and then this fight. What a weekend for sports, and we're not done wrapping it all up because like Wilder and Fury exchanging blows, so were the Chargers and the Browns in a thriller. We'll break that down and much more right after this. You're watching J&J. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen. Like Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, two heavyweights of the AFC were exchanging blows. Of course, I'm talking about the Chargers and the Browns. And it came down to Eckler winning the game for the Chargers. But both teams played great. What do you think about this game?
San Diego Superchargers. And I'm gonna say this all season. One of my favorite squads to watch was the Chargers growing up. And they had Dan Fouts under center. With Wes Chandler, Charlie Joyner, and Chuck Muncy, James Brooks in the backfield, I believe was his name. That's what this team reminds me of. They got weapons. You got Williams, you got Eckler, right? Like Keenan Allen. Like, and now you got your franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. He was the difference. It wasn't that Baker played horrible, but I told you, in going into this game, the elephant in the room for me was going to be if Baker could find a way to get the ball to Odell. And that still didn't happen.
Nope. It did not happen. And it was Justin Herbert who looked great yesterday, looking ever since the Tyrod Taylor incident happened and he had to come in the game against the Chiefs. Justin Herbert has been everything that you want from a quarterback here in his sophomore season. Him and the Los Angeles Chargers have looked outstanding. But I'm going to say this. You know I like moral victories. Big moral victory for the Browns here. They established the run. Baker played just good enough to show you that they can't compete in the AFC. And I think that we will see both of these teams in the playoffs. I'm going to say a decent game from the Browns here. If I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I walk away from this saying we went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the AFC and almost won the game. And I always love it when the defenders pull someone into the end zone. They had like a non-consensual touchdown at the end of the game there. It was so fun to watch. But we move on to another contest. And that was between the only undefeated team in the NFL heading into week 5, went up against the 49ers and established themselves as the class, not just in their difficult division, but in the NFC. The Cardinals are now 5-0. Jalen, what do you think about Kyler Murray yesterday?
Wasn't an exciting game. Definitely wasn't high scoring. But that guy right there, Joe Pesci, was the difference. And you saw how he threw that dime to D-Hop, too.
Right there.
Who got his touchdown yesterday also. And as you mentioned, remain undefeated. That's the key. The Cardinals, led by my guy, Kyler Joe Pesci Murray. You mess around with the mob, you'll get whacked. You know, Joe Pesci is that little guy you hate to see coming, right? There's a big fat neck boy standing around, and then all of a sudden Joe Pesci walking in, whack, 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 whack. That's Kyler Murray this year, 5-0.
Jalen, this Monday and the previous Mondays, what are they doing in Dallas?
Celebrate good times, come on. So much so, they're having a championship parade in Dallas today.
Yeah.
If you're in Texas, I want you to go to the parade. It's happening. You're not there. You're missing it. You see Jimmy Johnson? You see my guy Haley in there. I wanted to make sure he was in there. Every time Dallas beats an opponent, they're going to get crowned by their fans, supporters, and people in the media like they just won a championship. But let me still pay homage. Dak is balling this year.
Yes, he is.
Zeke is balling this year. And you know what I like? Looks so pretty. It looks so pretty. It reminded me of Drew Pearson going deep, right? Watching that 88 and CD Lamb. That was beautiful. And how about their defense? It was non-existent the last couple of years. Now you're seeing their defense flying around. Diggs gets an interception basically every game.
Every game. Every single game, Trayvon Diggs has an interception. I think he has 6 interceptions in 5 games. Every single game he gets an interception. It is wild. And this time he got an interception on a deep ball, which is normally not what he does, but it was a really good. They're showing up on both sides of the ball. We're going to talk about Dak. We're going to talk about Zeke. But they are a complete team. Unlike last year where it seems like they had holes, especially on defense, they have no holes. Like, are they the best team in the NFC?
No. The Tampa Bay Bucs are the best team in the NFC. But here's the thing I want to say about Diggs that plays for the Cowboys, who has a brother, clearly, that plays for the Buffalo Bills, Stephon, who's a terrific receiver. So many times the difference between players who play D-back and receiver are if they have hands.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the jokes that are made is like some D-backs are playing like they're wearing boxing gloves. They can't catch the ball. Like, he has great ball skills. And so it doesn't necessarily surprise me that his brother's an all-pro receiver, that he also has good hands defensively. And it's been a game changer for the Cowboys.
So, Jalen, you just incorrectly said that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the best team in the NFC. And you can't be wrong about your opinion. That's fine. I disagree with it. However, they did look great yesterday against the Miami Dolphins. Tom Brady had...
I'm not saying I'm the best. No, sorry, I'm lied. He's number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And AB was getting out there on them boys.
Yeah, he was.
Turned it up the field, took it to the house. You know, this is going to be interesting for the Miami Dolphins for me. Because obviously, Tua's out. Jacoby's playing for him. And what's going to happen with the Deshaun Watson speculation is what I'm paying attention to for this squad. Because they had a lot of progress that they made in multiple phases last year. Really good defensively, really good on special teams. They just needed to fill the spot at quarterback. Well, now all of a sudden, as their season is getting close to going in the opposite direction of what their goals probably hope to have happen, I wonder if that's going to increase their desperation to possibly try to do a deal.
Well, we talk about them doing a deal for a quarterback, and we should not be talking about them doing a deal for a quarterback because they drafted Tua Tagovailoa, who was a highly rated prospect. They drafted him so early that the idea that we're discussing them making a deal for a quarterback just shows how desperate they are to improve at that position. And you know I hate to root against a Jacoby. Jacoby tried. The first quarter looked good for Jacoby, but Jacoby fell apart, and Tom Brady is the GOAT. Jalen, Ben Simmons has completely hijacked this program for the last 2 months, and he continues to do so because we have yet another update on the status of that man, Ben Simmons. We'll tell you what that is right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching J&J. Give the people what they want. Tonight, the NBA preseason continues. We have the Brooklyn Nets traveling to Philly to take on the 76ers. That's 8 p.m. on ESPN2. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is those 76ers that we have an update on. Someone tells me this won't be the last. Our colleague Adrian Wojnarowski says that Clutch Sports and the 76ers are trying to build a path for Ben Simmons to rejoin the team in the preseason. What do you think of this development?
I'm not surprised. He has 4 years left on this deal. There's no way the Philadelphia 76ers can pick up the phone, try to do a deal for him, and ask for what you should be asking for if you're going to trade an all-NBA performer who's also all-defense, except he performed so poorly against the Hawks, who didn't have a process and have seemingly passed the Sixers with Simmons and Embiid to the point where they knocked them out of the playoffs. And Ben Simmons had zeros in a couple of fourth quarters. You don't get traded by not coming to training camp and not playing in the preseason. Now it's going to be awkward when he shows up because the fans and his teammates know he's just there so he can get his money, like Marshawn at a press conference.
It does feel like they played this wrong. He should have showed up in training camp. He should have showed up for every preseason game. He's already lost about $500,000 by not being there. Someone tells me that's what motivated him to this latest development. Jalen, tonight we have Lamar Jackson and the Ravens taking on the Colts. The Ravens and Lamar run away with this one, right?
I believe so. The Carson Wentz experiment hasn't gone so very well for the Colts, but I know what I'm going to get from that guy right there. A terrific dual threat who has more weapons to throw to. I do believe the Ravens find a way to get it done. What did you bet on this game?
Oh, you know, I mean, in New Jersey, gambling is legal, so I might have taken my kids out to New Jersey this weekend and made a parlay where Lamar Jackson scores a touchdown and the Ravens win by at least 7. And I feel very good about that. I feel very good about that. How did your wagers work out this weekend, Mr. Rose?
They worked out pretty well because I bet that Tyson Fury was going to win in the KO. And I bet every week that Jalen Hurts is going to get a rushing touchdown, baby.
Yeah, too. And he had two. And we will be back on ESPN2 at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you for watching Jalen and Jacoby. Make sure you check out the podcast. We always say we give the people what they want, and part of that is giving podcast exclusive content for the people. Mr. Rose.
What up, though?
We're going to get to all the games that we didn't get to during the regular television program, because we like to discuss every game. But I got to share with you something that just happened on my phone. The people from downstairs called the front desk and complained about my kids making noise.
What?
They called the front desk and complained about my kids making noise.
What? Can I say a couple of things that I don't want you to say?
Go ahead.
Can I please go here? First off, it's daytime. It ain't like it's 4 in the morning. You know what I mean?
Preach.
Number one. Number two, anytime you live in a building, I got a news flash for you. You're going to hear noise from the other tenants.
Move to the suburbs. Go ahead, move to the suburbs.
You can call the front desk. You can call security. You can call management on anybody that lives in any building. Like, your neighbors are petty, dog. I've been to your place. I know how your kids behave. And they're not even old enough to make the kind of noise to cause a disturbance because they're not big yet. They like that, like, wrestling and fighting.
Yeah, I don't have three 15-year-old, 200-pound sons that are having MMA fights in the living room. I got little tiny babies that are doing cartwheels. My daughter likes to do cartwheels in the living room. I'm never going to tell her to stop. She likes to do cartwheels.
Don't tell her to stop.
No, you know what it is, Jay? You know what it is, Jay? It's because I came up. That's the point. When I lived in Brooklyn, no one ever complained. Now I live in like some fancy little Manhattan apartment building, and now people call the front desk and complain about me and tell the guy at the front desk to call me, and then he calls my phone. It makes me mad, man. It makes me upset.
Family, but for real, dog. Somebody complaining about the kids making noise in the morning?
No,
on a weekday?
At like 10 a.m. Go to
on
work.
On a weekday?
Go to
get
work.
Get a job.
Go to work.
Go to work. Get out of the house.
Or knock on my door. Knock on my door. Look at me in the eye.
Don't know. No. Complain. No. Don't know.
Go ahead.
No, this is what I'm speaking for you. Don't knock on my door. No, don't knock on my door.
I'd rather that.
Don't knock on my door.
No, because I feel like if you look at my daughter's eyes and tell her to stop doing cartwheels, be like, go look at her. Look at her face and tell her to stop doing cartwheels. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go do that. I get so mad about that, man.
That's a classic, and I know we got so many franchises for this show. That's a classic soft move, dog. Calling management on your neighbor because their small kids are having fun at 10 in the morning on a Monday. Seriously? What do they do when it's construction outside? Or something like that.
They call God about the thunder. What are you mad about?
They don't even make noise like that. They're small.
We got to talk about some of the games we didn't get to. Number one, I know the Lions have lost a lot of football games, but the Jaguars have now lost 20 straight football games. Third longest streak in NFL history. And I know that Urban Meyer was on his grind, he was grinding out, trying to grind out a victory in this one.
I'm out here on the grind, trying to get a little change.
Rise and grind, Urban Meyer, but he couldn't get it done. Jalen, what do you think about what's happening at Jacksonville?
I believe, really simple.
What's that?
You want to punish Urban Meyer?
No.
Here's what you do. Don't fire him this season.
No.
Do not fire him this season.
Don't do it.
Let him be the face of this debacle. Not Trevor Lawrence, not ownership. Let me tell you the difference between the Lions and the Jaguars. Because I'm pretty sure while you're talking about the Jaguars lost 20 straight, we lost 16 straight in the same season. So I know about this. And let me tell you the difference. The vast difference is that they paid Urban Meyer and they drafted Trevor Lawrence. Those two dominoes should make their situation look like ours, where we're losing 66-yard field goal, 54-yard field goal. But Trevor Lawrence out here looking like Joe Burrow last year. That's what you bring in Urban Meyer to do. When that ain't happening, you already brought him in and modified the deal. Those next years ain't guaranteed no more. Trust me. I would almost bet you a condition after what happened in Ohio, they brought him into the office and said, we're not firing you, but those next few years ain't guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still want the gig? Absolutely, I do. So now what you do, you keep him on the sideline every game. How many years has Urban Meyer coached in the NFL?
Zero.
This ain't going to be a good look.
Honestly, Jalen, if in my heart of hearts, I feel like Urban Meyer, when he looks down at his phone and it says Shad Khan, he's hoping that he's getting fired. He's going to be the face of these losses. Shad Khan's like, you eat these losses. I want you to be the face of this 2-15 season. You're going to be the face of that. Eat all
exactly.
these L's. When Jameis Winston was eating the W's? He's going to eat all those L's. I'm not going to do you the favor of firing you. I'm not going to do you the favor.
I'm going to tell you what they should do. From now on, for the rest of the year, they should put Urban Meyer's face on the tickets.
They really should.
No other player have Urban face of the franchise on the tickets. Because he going to look up at the end of this year, and this is how the game works. It was all good just a week ago. They going to celebrate the championships you won in Florida and for Ohio State. But this is a what have you done for me lately world. And they going to remember more as you become the face of why notable, successful collegiate coaches aren't successful when they make the transition. You're the face.
Jalen, I don't even feel like talking about it, but I have to talk about it. The Michigan Wolverines football team. Dog. I don't know if it's a schedule thing, but like Penn State lost to Iowa in a close one. And then you saw what happened with the Sooners switching up quarterbacks. And it was a big weekend for college football. Alabama went down to A&M. And the Michigan Wolverines football team, how many losses do they have? I haven't checked. How many losses?
Zero. 6 wins.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I thought Michigan was just going to turn into a basketball school. After the last, like, 10 years, I was like, you know what? Maybe there's a basketball school. Juwan got a good thing going there. Maybe they can be like Duke. Like, yeah, we got a football team, but no one talks about it. But the Michigan Wolverines are now 6-0. Penn State lost this week. Like, there's a real chance that y'all are the Big Ten champions.
No doubt. And shout out to my brother, comedian Ha Ha Davis, who I went on his podcast. His first episode gonna be dropping soon. And I was watching this game with him and the fight. You know what else I talked to him about, Jacoby? Our comedy bracket. And coming on the show and just doing some creative things. But let me get back to my Wolverines. We got a win against Michigan State, who changed coaches, and they vastly improved. I think they're now, we're ranked 9th. I think they're ranked 11th. Shout out to the Georgia Bulldogs. My daughter, Mariah Rose, is a senior at Georgia. I will be representing my Bulldogs hoodie tomorrow or the day after at some point because they're number one in the country.
Number one.
But it's going to be paramount we beat Michigan State.
Oh, well, you're not even gonna mention Ohio State. You're not even gonna mention Ohio State, huh?
I bow down and kiss the ring. Like, that's the only time you see me humble. It's the only time you see me humble. Other than that, I'm like the fly god. I'm West Side Gun until Ohio State show up and he Debo. I'm crazy cocky until the Buckeyes show up.
Justin Fields and the Bears got a win against the Raiders. Now, if you just look at the box score, you might think this is a good game, but Fields didn't look great, but the defense did. And Khalil Mack, something tells me Khalil Mack circled this one on the schedule because he had himself a game against the Raiders.
I think people forget how good Khalil Mack is amongst all the best players in the game because the Bears' offense has been so poor the last couple of years. But I can't ignore something, Jacoby. I'm disappointed that the NFL didn't punish my guy, John Gruden. I'm disappointed in that. And I'm going to tell you specifically why. Because Demoris Smith was in a power position as the head of the Players Association. And if you don't honor his black face and you want to make fun of his lips and dismiss his intellect and why he shouldn't be in that position, that now is an NFL issue. And to me, because it's an NFL issue, even though John Gruden, you ready for this? The highest paid coach in the NFL. Do I need to say that louder for the people in the back?
Yes.
He got a $100 million deal.
What?
To coach the Raiders. He like 3 or 4 years in on that deal. No playoff wins. They just drafted 2 players, I think, in the second round that didn't even make the team or don't play. And so I'm truly disappointed in the NFL. They continue to get things wrong. Like, it's so very basic. If this happens in the NBA, John Gruden gets disciplined.
Yeah.
Yep. There's no reason why he should not get disciplined at all. Oh, and by the way, the same Raiders, during a time when George Floyd was murdered by officers, and he, like so many, before he passed, one of his last statements were, "I can't breathe." I'm old enough to remember the Raiders Twitter feed tweeting, I can breathe.
It's not just that, Jalen. For me, it's John Gruden trying to make logical sense of his remarks and say that they weren't racial is worse. I'm not going to say worse, but it's as bad as the initial offense. Like, the idea that he says, like, oh, that wasn't racial. I don't have a racial bone in my body. I don't think like that. The idea that you can say that and then say that it's not racial, like, yes, it is. And he's like, oh, well, I always call liars rubber lips. Never heard that in my life. Never. I mean, there are phrases and turns of phrases that I've never heard before. I've never heard that once in my life. And the idea that he's going to try to defend himself and to stand by the actions instead of just taking his talking to and apologizing, that's disrespectful to me. It's not as bad as the initial offense, but it's close.
It's disrespectful to me that the NFL is 80%, 70% black, and the highest paid head coach on one of the most high-profile teams can send that message about the Players Association president and not get disciplined at all.
And so
I'm telling you, dog, let me just be real with you. These are the type of things, as black people, we believe are happening sometimes when we're not around. And when we get a sneak peek behind the curtain and know that powerful people that make like $100 million to coach football teams and a multi-billion dollar organization like the NFL don't punish them for that behavior. That's why it's important for us to never shut up and dribble. Right there. And by the way, you ready for this other thing? How about the people who justify it by saying it was old? Oh, that was 10 years ago. That was old.
10 years isn't that long. 2011, we've been doing the show for 10 years. Like, we had J&J 10 years ago. That's not that old.
He was coaching in the NFL before then. He had won a Super Bowl before then.
It's also to understand the context is he's the president of the Players Association and they're in the middle of a negotiation, in the middle of a lockout. So there is some tension and contentiousness there. So for him, so you have to understand that too. So when he's writing that email, it's him and his buddies talking about the person that's on the other side of the bargaining table and speaking about them in extremely racially charged language. Extremely.
And also, man, I have to say this too. We're the descendant of slaves. We were bought and sold. That's a painful reality for my people. And when people start to refer to how we're built, like your size, your girth, your lips, like that's the kind of discussion that was happening as we were bought and sold and taken away from our families and distributed to white slave owners. That's a mentality. That ain't got nothing to do with that email family. That's in his head. He went straight for the insult that we know is happening. Call us gorillas, call us baboons, talk about like, it's so sophomoric, but also, here's another thing I want to point out. Damore Smith, accomplished, educated, well-dressed, powerful, in a position of influence. If he gets talked about like that, imagine what people who don't have those accolades get discussed as. So I'm disappointed in the Raiders because they could also discipline their coach.
Yep.
They didn't do it. Discipline the NFL could discipline the Raiders and Gruden. They didn't do it. Disappointed.
I'm disappointed as well. And something tells me we haven't heard the last of this because
I ain't done talking about this one.
He can't skate from this one. Like you can't just like brush past this one and say, oh, his explanation to me was disrespectful. And our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll put you on the show just like this.
Hey, Jalen Jacoby, it's your boy. Oh, I got to keep my name secret because of what I've already asked. Listen, I need the help of my uncles. And right now, it's kind of crazy. So I got a friend who's getting married pretty soon. Keep it short and simple. The bachelor party. The wife, the future wife, does not want strippers at the party. I don't know how to play this right. I know me and my fellas. It's been a long, turbulent year in which we couldn't get out and hang out. This is the best time for us to get together and have a great time and send my man out right out on a great note. So how do I fix the situation? This future fiance doesn't want strippers at the party, but my man does want strippers. How do I fix this? I'm coming to you guys for advice. And got to say, first and foremost, forgot to say shout out, Reg, and yep, medicinal. All right.
Well, you came to the right place. Uncle Jalen and Uncle David are here for you. I don't even need to think about this. Hey, you know what? There's going to be strippers at the bachelor party, okay? They're going to be there. So whether she wants it, doesn't want it, knows about it, doesn't know about it, whatever it is, they're going to be there. They're going to be there. So don't even consider it. Don't even think twice. It's like having food at a meal. Of course there's gonna be strippers at the bachelor party. That's what bachelor parties are. So what are you gonna do?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. And I wanna make sure that I give a quality answer. So the caller basically said that his future wife doesn't want him to have a bachelor party with strippers.
His friends. Future wife doesn't want him to have strippers at the bachelor party.
His friends, so basically, hit the brakes. First off, what kind of friends you got? Why is his wife talking to you about the bachelor party?
That's what I'm saying.
First off, like that right there is private. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to eliminate that right there. You got to draw a line. Because let me tell you what you don't want. You don't want her always confiding in your friend when she don't like something that you might do. Mm-hmm. You don't want that. You need to
stop
that right now.
It sets a bad precedent. You're about to get married forever. You're about to be with this person for the rest of your life. And she can't be managing those little details of your private time. You know one thing that's so great about Joey Jacoby, Jalen Rose? I came home from my bachelor party, and she said, "Are you hungry? Can I make you something to eat?" She didn't say, "Did you have fun? Where'd you go? What'd you do? Tell me about everything." And she was just like, "Are you hungry? Do you want something to eat?" That's why Joey Jacoby is the greatest woman on the face of the planet. And that's the type of lady you want to marry.
And also, but also, here's another thing, though. You got to make sure that you're protecting the sanctity of the bachelor party and not including people from her family.
Yeah, the future brother-in-law is always a vibe killer. The future brother-in-law, we can have a separate bachelor party that you're invited to, but the real bachelor party you ain't invited to. We can have a fake one, a little decoy. We can throw a decoy bachelor party at the steakhouse for him to make him feel like he went to the bachelor party, but the real bachelor party, future brother-in-law is not coming. No.
Now pick up that game your uncles Jalen and Jacoby putting down. You do a bachelor party on wax. And then you do like three or four of them off wax. That's how you do it.
Are you ready for an unpopular opinion, Jay? Unpopular opinion?
Yes, sir.
I hate bachelor parties. You ask my friends, I got close, like 15 dudes or whatever, 12 dudes from college. I miss all their bachelor parties. All of them. Not a big fan of the bachelor party. Too much expectations, too much craziness. There's always like that one married dude that goes too far. I'm not a big bachelor party fan at all. Never have fun at them.
Well, but you got to consider the source. Like, you are negative Jacoby. Like, if it's supposed to be too much fun, you don't like it.
Exactly. expectations.
You know what
are
I mean? That's
high.
All it is.
Yeah. I don't
that's
like
all,
bachelor
you,
parties.
You know, deep down in your heart, you know, you like that neighbor that's sitting on the porch and all of the kids are having great fun. You like, I wish that ball would get on my grass. I wish it would. I wish they would run across my grass. It's going to be a problem if that happens. You're that guy. That's all. You enjoy fun. You enjoy your friends. I met you at a strip club, so I know you've been to one before.
Shout out to Strokers in 2004. I think you're still in the league at that point, weren't you?
What? That's right!
Dave Chappelle was in the building that day as well. I'm going to say day, too, because it was like 3 in the afternoon. I don't know if you had a day off or whatever. But it was definitely sunlight when I walked out of that building. Well, listen, there's going to be strippers at the bachelor party. So what? I think that your friend needs to set the precedent and be honest with her and say, listen, I know that you don't want there to be strippers there, but listen, there's a lot of guys and there's an expectation and there are going to be some strippers. It's going to happen.
No, you tell your friend that we're giving you a bachelor party. You or your future wife are not going to dictate what we eat at the party, what we drink at the party, where the party's going to be, and who comes. That's our job.
Well put. We got time for one more voicemail before we got to get out of here. Call 985-80-JALEN. You can leave us a voicemail. Voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is here to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G.
Jalen Jacoby, Reg the Ledge. What up, though? Quick question. Here we go. All right, we going to the moon. Jacoby said we going to the moon, y'all. We got to go. Jalen, which barb are you taking? That's a real question. We know you bring it Jacoby, your favorite. You know we bring it Reg the Ledge, your fave. But which barb are you taking, Jalen? The people want to know. Holla.
Ooh.
Did he say we're going to the moon? So so Earth has become uninhabitable. We got to start a new society on another planet. And it's like Noah's Ark. You can only bring one barber, Jalen Anthony Rose. You know what? I'm gonna save you from this one. We gotta go. I'm gonna save you from this one. I don't want anyone. You know what? Sometimes you gotta jump in front of the bullets for your brothers. I'm gonna save you from this one. We'll be back tomorrow. Give you another dope pod to step to. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
I'm taking them all. Shiz, 215 exclusive, Andy Authentic. My guy Hawk in Atlanta.
And take homegirl from Phoenix too. Take homegirl from Phoenix too. She gotta come too.
Nicole from Phoenix.
Yep,
I got two barbers in Detroit now. Shout to Sebastian. Shout to JB nephew. Namesake. I'm taking them all, or I ain't going. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the beat.